Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the kindness. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the coffee out back. How many of you enjoy the coffee table coming in today? Come on. If you appreciate it, you'll see it more. How many of you appreciate the coffee and the cookies? Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for the incredible words. Thank you, Pastor Ryan, for that. I receive that into my life, and I believe that with all of my heart. It's going to be an incredible season that we're all moving into, and God has done great things, and He has greater things to do. You've seen this guy over here, Andrew. He and his guy that's working with him, Chris, are from Spectrum News. Can we give the Spectrum News guys a big God bless you today? And Andrew, put in a word for us. Maybe the city church and all its people could get a discount on our cable bills. I just had to throw that in there. Come on, and everybody said, amen. Well, it's an incredible season again that we're living in, and I'm just so grateful for it. I'm grateful. You know this, my mom died at 58, my dad at 59, and I just feel like every year is just an incredible gift from God for my life. And I don't feel my age. I don't particularly like those two sixes together, but I'm not looking necessarily forward to the two sevens together either. But great day. Today, you're going to be blessed. And for all of those that, you know, don't walk by the table out there where Lisa Frank-Lamont and Susie Gagne are at, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's a very important subject to our family in that my wife has gone through that and is completely 100% recovered from it. But we care about everybody, and I just hear so many times people say, and ladies, you're not as bad as the guys. The guys mostly think, if I don't go get checked out, nothing will be wrong with me. Guys, don't be that way. Ladies, let's take the initiative. My wife she'll mention it just a little bit this morning, but it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're very mindful of that as well. And so for those of you that have gone through it or maybe are going through it, our prayers are with you, our love. We pray for God's peace on your life and His help. He can help you. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Trust in Jesus with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you are going to believe in Him in a great way today and trust Him with all of your heart? Amen. This morning, I get to introduce my main squeeze for over 40 years. Miss Patty, I want you to give her the biggest God bless you. She's got a great word today. Come on. Give it up for her. Come on. Show some love. Come on. You could do a little better than that.
So good morning. When I was putting this message together, I was like, Lord, I'm not a Bible scholar. Haven't been to Bible school, but I've lived life, and the truth is, I've lived 65 years, not 66, I've lived 65 years. So, I just thought I'd bring that up, I'm a little younger. But you know, I am a mom, I am a grandma, and I have lived some life, and for that I'm so thankful, but the lessons that I've learned in 65 years, we don't have to have losses. So I'm going to explain that. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for the privilege to get together, Lord. We thank you for our friends and our family and for the people that are online that we've never even met, Lord, that are part of our family. We pray, Lord, that you'd minister the word through what you've given me. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've heard a lot of times that there are only lessons, not losses. And I was trying to think of that because this is October, and this is when we are aware, breast cancer awareness. And I'm thinking, I really didn't want to give a message just about breast cancer. Yep, I've been through breast cancer 7 years ago. This month, I completed my chemotherapy. And then, you know, you go on to radiation therapy. And then you go on to all these other things. But boy, did I learn some lessons through that. Some lessons you hear about, but when you experience them, they're totally different, and they make them really true in your life. So the greatest lesson that I've learned is God certainly is with us no matter what happens. No matter what path we're on, God is with us. And the path that we're on today, importantly, is my husband's birthday. So I've learned that it's easier to walk a difficult road if you have a good partner with you. And Marty was that really good partner as I walked through cancer. The Bible says, two are better than one, for if either of them falls, one's there to help them back up. And he was there to help me. So I really could tell you about my breast cancer experience. And if you want to know about it or you need to, I'm going to do what so many women did for me. They called me. They walked me through it. They encouraged me. I'd be more than happy to do that. But there's the routine mammogram is one of the biggest things that you can do. And I know right now people are shy to go to the doctor. They don't necessarily want to go. They don't want to think about being in a doctor's office. COVID is out there. I get it, but trust me, you would definitely rather not have cancer. So go to your doctor and have your routine mammograms. Keep up with some of that medical things that you should do. So there's the testing, there's the discovery, there's the procedures that you go through, there's the loneliness that you experience. I really want to tell you, it's a very lonely experience having cancer. I don't care what medical condition you have, there's a lot of loneliness that you are facing that alone and without the knowledge that God can help. I don't know how you face those things, but I choose to decide that I did not have losses. I had lessons. And hopefully if you live long enough, you'll determine that you did have lessons, but not losses. Cancer that I've learned, people look at it as negative. And I can tell you it was negative. And this is not really in my notes, but I thought about it. I can tell you the positives that happened. I slowed down in life. I thought about life. I thought about the quality of life. I enjoyed fully my grandkids. I went to their games. I sat outside in the sun, kept my ball cap on. Sure, you're bald, but you know, it was summer and most of the treatments were in the summer, so I was okay with that. But I want you to know that if you look long enough at things that you go through, hopefully you'll determine that, yep, I did have a lesson, but I didn't have a loss. Because the Bible says in Romans 14:8, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we still belong to the Lord. That's the hope that we have. And that's the hope that gives us the eternal destination that we have. No matter what happens, that's where we're going to be if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You can go through a trial and you can come out the other side a winner. No matter if it ends through a trial or ends on the other side and you're with your Lord and Savior, you're still a winner. In Philippians 1:21, it says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I can't tell you how many times I've thought of that when Marty does a funeral. And I've actually used it several times when I've talked to people that have had losses. You have an appointment. I think that's a wonderful way to explain it. Every single one of us has an appointment. I don't know when that appointment is, and you don't. But the truth is, you're never going to be late, and you're never going to be early for that appointment. We all have an appointment. So if you think long enough, we have a lot to do on this earth before we get to that appointment. And I want to tell you, maybe an illness, you have a testimony. Maybe you have a testimony when you've gone through a trial. Maybe you'll have a testimony when you teach a Bible class with some kids that will remember you throughout their whole life. I'm 65 years old, and I still remember Miss Sipe. Miss Sipe was a spinster, an old maid. She'd never been married, but she had all these kids that she took care of, and she did a Bible class once a week in a tiny, tiny church that's no longer there, the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. She drilled us with Bible verses. She taught us. She loved us. She gave us little toys. I don't even know where they came from, but I'll never forget her. She wasn't necessarily somebody that you would pick out of a crowd, but to those kids that were in that Bible class, she meant a lot to them. And I present to you that when you are teaching those kids and you're volunteering and helping with Miss Cassandra and you're doing it with Samantha, the kids will never forget you. I guarantee you that. I remember a story of an amazing person that we met when we went to Bethel Full Gospel Church in Rochester. We had just moved back from Seattle, Washington. And to be real honest, I really didn't want to go to church. I grew up in church. We went to church. Very involved, but I had had it with church. And I understand where people can come from when they say that. But Marty, he worked at Home Depot at the time. He wasn't necessarily with us every Sunday, but he had asked me to make sure that I took the kids to church. And so we picked out that church, and we went to church every Sunday. You know where we sat? Way up in the balcony. We didn't know anybody. Nobody knew us. We didn't talk to anybody. You know the one person that every single Sunday talked to my kids and to myself was Woody the usher. He made a difference. I'll never forget him. He'd come up. That was his assignment, that usher spot up in the balcony, and every week he greeted us and was so kind to us. Yep, we came in probably a little late, and yep, we left as soon as the message was over, but Woody the usher was a big deal in our life. And you know what else you can do? And I just jotted this down. If you can't do any of those things, you couldn't be an usher, you couldn't teach in a class, you couldn't be up in the nursery, the greatest thing that you could do is to pray. You could be a prayer warrior. In the old days, that's what we called them. The ladies that were in church, they would pray and pray. I watched my own grandmother on her knees continually praying for people. They'd jot down little things in their, well, she would take an old envelope because she wouldn't want to waste a clean piece of paper. So she'd take an old envelope and she'd jot people's names down. And then during the week, she would pray for them. We all can do that. So God may teach you lessons. You may be the one that teaches other people's lessons. But like cancer, sometimes we just have to go through things. But in the end, we do learn amazing lessons. So one of the things that hold us back, maybe from getting a mammogram, maybe from going to the doctor to find out about something, it could be maybe holding you back from teaching a class, being involved in a class, is fear. Don't let fear stop you from moving forward. If you look up fear in the Bible, it's mentioned 365 times. 365 times, in my opinion, is because there's 365 days out of the year. So it talks to us every single day about fear. Remind yourself not to let fear overtake you. Whether you're going through problems in your family, whether you have a kid problem, trust me, almost everybody has had a problem with their kids now and again. Health problems, money problems, problems can grip us with fear. But we have to not panic, not get angry, and don't give up. The biggest thing that I can tell you is don't give up. Isaiah says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand." Just like I said in the beginning, I did learn that God was with me through cancer. Yes, I've learned a lot of lessons. I've learned a lot of lessons through life. And some of the things I jotted down, just thoughts in my mind. Trust me, it's not a complete list, but I'll give you some of them. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isn't it amazing that God tells us in these scriptures many, many times that he's with us? And don't be afraid. Move forward. If God be with you, who can be against you? For if God is continually walking with us through any trial that we have, we've got a great partner. He's right there. I've always been told, if you breathe, that's the breath of God. He's with you continually. Be content. Philippians 4 says, "Not that I was ever in need, for have learned how to be content with whatever I have." I've learned to be content with whatever I've had. You know, as I was studying, this was written by the Apostle Paul. And it was written when he was in prison. And if you study further and you learn about Paul, he faced hardships, severe hardships, poverty. He was beaten. He had illness. And even while he penned those words, he was in prison. So he's telling us to be content no matter what situation we are. And look at what happened to him. Just recently, you know, like, does anybody go through and kind of look at YouTube or whatever? I got one person. So I was going through YouTube, and I'm kind of fascinated sometimes. And Denzel Washington has, like, little podcasts. And somebody came up and said, "Did you hear his last one last week?" And no, I hadn't heard it. I was just kind of scrolling through, and he has some really good words. I kind of wonder if he must be a Christian, because I cannot see him talking like that if he isn't. And this stuck with me about being content. He said, "Have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul?" No. Man, I rewound that. I listened because, no. We came into the world naked, and naked we will leave. And our trust in God is the one hope and the one thing that we do have. And this popped into my brain from all those years of being in church. And I was with my nail lady yesterday, and I was telling her about the message today. She's interested. She doesn't attend church, but I was like, sure. And so I told her about this one part of being content. And I said, you know, the Bible talks about a wife in the Bible that wasn't content. And it says in the Bible, I'm not making this up, "Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a nagging wife." That is definitely in the Bible. So I want you to know, wives, I do sometimes nag. I don't nag. I remind Marty of things. Yes. I'll be like, "Don't forget, honey." Totally. It's a different thing. It's a different thing, yes. And, okay, I won't nag. Be confident. The Bible tells us to be confident. In Philippians it says, "Be confident of this thing. He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." It kind of goes along with the appointment. You have things to do. The Bible says occupy till he comes. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither were you. It takes time to reach perfection. And I don't believe we'll ever reach a perfect state until we're in heaven. So carry on and be confident of the God that's in you. Be kind. Ephesians 4:32 said, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Be kind to yourself first. Forgive yourself for things. Ask the Lord to help you not to remember the former things that really are things that the Lord has covered with his blood. Be kind to yourself first, because you can't take care of other people unless you take care of you. And the one I've had two conversations with two different women who are going through health challenges. And they've kind of waited, neglected, thought about themselves last because they were so busy with other people. But you're not going to be able to take or help anybody else unless you take care of yourself first. So take care of your needs, your health, your mammogram, and then take care of others. Be kind, it says in Romans 12:18, if it's possible, as long as it depends on you, live at peace with every person. Being kind can cost you money. You don't like to hear that, but it can. Sometimes you feel that you need to help somebody. Maybe it's monetarily, and maybe it's not. But I'll tell you my story about Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. So I don't have to go to work. I mainly work from home. Three times a month, maybe, I go into Rochester. I work for the University of Rochester. So I had a doctor's appointment, and so I was going to go into work late. It was my assigned day to go into work. Managers have certain days that they have to go, and I thought, oh, you know what? I never do this in the morning. I am hungry, and I want to get a coffee, and so I went in the Dunkin' Donut drive-thru right in Gates. And I'm in line, and I'm thinking, oh, this won't take too long. Well, trust me, it took a lot longer than I thought it was going to take. And I was getting a little frustrated at how long it was taking. So I'm like, well, how long can it be to get a coffee? It's breakfast. You just get a breakfast sandwich. You just move through the line. Isn't that what you do? And I do have this thing that I don't like people budging in line. Like, I really do. So if you go to Starbucks and I'm waiting in line, if you invite five people in front of me, Marty will hold me back, but I'll probably be the one going, I was in line first. In the Dunkin' Donut line, you can't do anything about it. You have to stay wherever you are and wait. Once you're in that line, you don't get out of the line. So I'm kind of fussing to myself. There's nobody in the car but me. And I'm watching this black Audi in front of me. I thought it was a very lovely car. I watched her dog run around through the window, up the back, out the window, whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, move up, move up. Well, she couldn't. There's somebody in front of her. So the line moves ahead. She leaves, and I go to order whatever I'm going to order. And the girl says to me, the lady in front of you paid for your meal, paid for your drink. I'm like, oh, ooh. No one knew it. I'm telling you the story. No one else knew it. But I'm thinking, oh, that was not nice of you. Spectrum News is going to tell everybody. So I'm seriously telling you, I was very much this big, you know? And then the girl at the window, just a young girl, you know, and they're all doing the best that they can right now. I'm sure maybe she's new, whatever. It was a struggle, them getting the line through. She says, you know, nothing like that's ever happened to me. And I'm thinking, gosh, I wish I was in line against, and she had a car so I could pay for her. I just thought she was the sweetest thing. So that was my story, and I have learned a lesson. I will try to be more patient. So it can cost you money. And be quiet. Sometimes you just have to keep your mouth shut. So this is not me saying this. This is me listening to T.D. Jakes' message. Does anybody know who T.D. Jakes is? Oh, yeah. Got some people raising your hand. So this is from him. He said, we talk way too much. We want to tell everyone about our mess, about their mess, about your mess, about everybody's messes. But all those people talking can't figure out their own messes, and how are they going to fix your mess? People act like they want to pray, forgive us, Lord, but they want to talk. And talking makes us a fool. I really want to tell you, I'm telling you that I read this and I went, whoa. So the Bible says in Psalms, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God help us. Be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. it's very easy to be opinionated. Everybody's got an opinion. Do you, anybody here know somebody that's so opinionated that you just don't want to be around them? No, Marty doesn't. But the truth is, we all do know people that are so opinionated, it's like, okay, I give up. You just don't want to argue with somebody. Learn to be thankful. Learn to be thankful right where you are with your job, your home, your family. And one of the most important things to me is our family, the McDonald family. We laugh. We cry. We talk. We fight. We get over it, but we do fight. And most importantly, we love. We love each other. Love your family. Go the extra mile sometimes when you just don't want to. Or try to mend fences if it's possible. Be at peace with everyone. And then be faithful. In the scriptures, Proverbs says, a faithful man will abound with blessing. But whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Be faithful. Be a faithful child when your parents are aging. Be a faithful steward of everything that God's given you. Be faithful to your spouse and to your children. Don't give up when the road gets rough. And don't sweat the small things. I wish somebody would have helped me years ago and told me, you know, Patty, it's okay. Don't sweat the small things. Most of all, learn to be a faithful follower of Christ. God is so faithful to us that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Only a few thoughts, not necessarily on breast cancer, but a message of lessons that I have certainly learned in 65 years. One of the lessons that I've really learned is the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire
in darkest night. You are close like no other.
I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice.
You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
Come on, tell the Lord this morning, all my life.
all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
I will sing of the goodness of God.
Ooh, we will sing of the goodness of God. We will sing of the goodness of God. Would you give my mom a hand? She's getting to be a good preacher. Amen. Give her a hand. Well, it's been such a joy to be here. Thank you for sharing this great day with us. Before you leave, make sure you wish my dad a happy birthday. And this Thursday night, we're having a worship night here. All of our worship leaders are going to be involved 7 p.m. right in this building on Thursday night. And then next Sunday, I'm going to share a word with you, and I'm going to entitle it The Next Chapter. I believe the Lord has spoken to me clearly on that. We'd love to see you. Today, we're going to be over at St. Anthony's at 12 noon. God bless you so much. We love you. Have a great day.